All right. So here we are today. It is April 4th at about 11 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and I'm on a phone interview with James Patrick Nugent, who is in Seattle. Welcome, James.
Thank you.
So I'm going to have you clearly state your name, your full name.
Okay. James Patrick Nugent III. Actually, the third. they call me Jim for short.
Okay. And where and when were you born?
I was born in Missoula, Montana in 1976.
Okay. And
I get my own birthday.
And you, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Missoula.
Okay. And where have you lived?
Just Missoula and Seattle, Washington.
Okay. What jobs have you had, James?
Oh, boy. Lots of jobs. I've been a janitor. I've been a busboy in a restaurant. I've been a cook in a restaurant. I've worked at the university bookstore. I've been a TA at University of Washington. I was a nanny for a summer. Currently, I'm a film archivist and music performer. I've made some money doing that, too. So, lots of jobs.
Okay. And so you say you currently now are a film archiver.
Yeah, that would probably be the most accurate description.
Okay. And you are married.
I am married, yep.
And at what age did you marry?
Let's see, I was 28.
Okay. And is Tiffany, is she also of Irish ancestry?
You know, she might have, I think she's got a little bit of Irish ancestry, but she's at least half directly Basque, the little country in between Spain and France. But I've heard from her mom that she does have some Irish ancestry, but not a whole lot, small percentage.
Well, it always seems to sneak in there somewhere.
Yeah, we get around.
Okay, so do you, I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about family folklore now. And
okay.
Do you know when your ancestors left Ireland?
On some branches of the family, yes. On others, it's more of a conjecture, but the side we know the most about is my mom's father's side, and those folks were actually migrant workers, and they were working in the tin mines in Cornwall. They were all born in Cork, Ireland, and they were overworking in the tin mines. The men were in Cornwall, and then they came over at the very beginning of the 20th century. So we have my great grandfather showing up first, and he shows up on the Butte census in I don't know if it's the 1910 Butte census, one of the earlier ones, and then his wife and kids came a couple years later.
Okay. And do you know, before they went to Cornwall, where they came from in Ireland and what they did there?
From what I've been told, they were miners in Ireland, also in Cork. The Cork area is where... I think we've actually found some, my aunt found some census material to tie them actually physically back to Cork, but also the family mythos or whatever definitely pinpoints that as the first, where everybody came from. So that would be probably the later part of the 1800s. They would have been definitely in Cork.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you, Jim, Does your Irish ancestry mean to you when you give it thought? What does it mean to you?
It's something I'm proud of. It's definitely something that I like to kind of like tie myself to. Being American, we don't have a whole lot of roots. Our country is a young country, and when we all moved here from our you know different European destinations, we lost a lot of that ties to you know our ancestry. And so I like to find out about it and just kind of be aware of where I came from. And also I find the Irish to be very interesting people. And especially as it pertains to Butte, Montana, where my family all come from, and there's lots of Irish history in Butte, Montana, so mm-hmm. I feel a strong connection to that.
Okay. So do you know, other than your family coming over from Cornwall to the United States, are there any other stories about how your family first came to the United States, and did they come directly to Butte, and why?
On that side, it looks like there was quite a bit of a migration. Quite a few people came from the Cornwall area as miners, and it makes sense that their skills would have been transferable from the tin mining to over to the copper mining. And so it looks like quite a few came from Cornwall directly over to Butte. On another side of my family, it looks like they're also miners, and they came from Michigan. A lot of Irish people were up in what I believe is northern Michigan, kind of the Marquette area up there. And then they came over to work in the Butte mines. So it seems like the mining got a lot of my family over there. One interesting thing is that when my grandfather's father was already over in Butte, he then sent for his wife and kids, and they actually came over on the Lusitania. This is before the Lusitania sunk.
Oh, wow.
And there's actually a ship manifest that we found on Ancestry.com that has. My grandfather wasn't born yet, but his older brother Flurry and his sister Anne were with my great grandmother Julia Driscoll came over on the Lusitania.
Oh.
And it appears that she, my great grandmother, had some of her siblings who were all also born in the Cornwall area of direct Irish descent. Some of them stayed on the East Coast, but she went directly from wherever they landed. Yeah, I think it was New York City. They then traveled to Butte, Montana.
Wow.
So
it's pretty incredible.
So I have some of them kind of going through Michigan to get to Butte, and then mm-hmm. others coming straight over
to Butte.
So it must have been quite an adventure to have, you know, just yourself and two young children go on this boat and head into the American West to this, you know, mining town way out in the middle of the continent.
Absolutely, yeah. So I just it really blows your mind, doesn't it?
To yeah, think about how must they have been very brave.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that you told me when we talked earlier that your family, your mother and father, still live in the house that you came to live in at about a year old.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I'm in a. Your family pretty much stayed in Butte.
Yeah, that's true. The my parents, my father moved to Missoula when he was five. He was born in Butte, and his father worked for Montana Power and moved down to Missoula. So my dad went to school in Missoula. My mom was born in Butte and stayed there until college.
Okay.
Came down to UM and met my dad there.
And And so they've been in Missoula now for 33 years?
For quite a while, since the early 70s.
And your dad is a public figure here in Missoula?
Yeah, my dad is the city attorney. They just actually recently had an article about him in the Missoula Independent, smaller newspaper in Missoula.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about how he's been the city attorney for over 30 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, and his father was a city councilman. James Nugent I is a city councilman in Missoula and a state legislator over in Helena, along with working for Montana Power as a plumber.
And,
he's a plumber and electrician.
Okay, and I know I from the email that you sent us that James Nugent I, your grandfather, was a state legislator at the time that the Montana Constitution was developed. Did I read that right, or am I wrong?
The Constitutional Convention, I think, was in 69 or 70. I'm not quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
But he'd actually passed away by then. My mom's father, Morris Driscoll, attended the Constitutional Convention, CONCON, as they all call it.
So politics was a pretty big part of your life growing up as well. You were kind of
it still kind of is. It stresses me out, so I try to keep it in small doses. But yeah, it's always been kind of a dinner table discussion, because even though my dad's not in a political an elected office, he's right in the thick of things as the city attorney. So there's definitely my mom's dad, Morris Driscoll, unsuccessfully ran for the state legislature either right before or right after the Constitutional Convention. But he started the Butte Vote Tech in Butte, Montana.
Wow.
So he was involved. He's pretty well known in Butte in his time, and was definitely involved in the Teamsters. He was the one that got the Butte teachers represented by the Teamsters, which he'd had connections with from his time working for the Anaconda Company.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of all goes back to the Anaconda Company and Montana Power eventually.
Eventually, it always gets back there.
Yeah.
So, what do you know about your family name, if anything, or name?
I know that it's Irish, and I know that my dad was really proud when they visited Ireland that there was some castle that was called Nugent Castle, and he definitely liked to poke fun at my mom because they'd never found a Driscoll castle.
That's funny.
he was as far as I know, I think the Nugents came from in more of an area in Central Ireland, whereas the Driscolls came from Cork and more down in the southern tip of Ireland there. But other than that, I don't know a whole lot about where the name Nugent came from. I know Driscoll, I think, at one point had an O in the front, which was dropped at some point.
All right.
Originally O Driscoll.
Okay. Let's see here. Are there, of course, there are some traditional first names in your family, but so James Patrick, is that... how long has that name been passed down in your family?
Quite a long time, actually. My grandfather was the first James Patrick, but his father, who actually was a well-known football player for Butte Central, named his nickname was Rubber Nugent. Apparently had something to do with how he played football, but his name was Patrick.
What was his
name? So my great-grandfather was Patrick Nugent, and his father was also Patrick Nugent. 39. This is what my notes, my scattered notes say here. So yeah, so well, actually my grandfather, James Patrick Nugent I, was an all-state football player for Butte High.
Wow.
They won the 1940 state championship. So there's some football players in there.
So would you tell me one more time what what was his football nickname?
Oh, my great grandfather's name was Rubber. They called Rub or Rubber Nugent.
Oh.
And his real name was Patrick, but even in his obituary, it says in parentheses Rub, the Rubber Nugent. And that had something to do with his skills in the football field. Apparently, there used to be some kind of minor professional football league called the Independent League or something. It says that in his obituary that he played for the quote-unquote old Independent League after high school. So he was a football player. So, the Patrick and the James go way back.
Okay. And are there any other naming traditions with the women in the family, or is that pretty much it?
No, you know, a lot of the names I've noticed on both sides, all the branches of my family, a lot of the names just keep coming up again in different generations.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of Anns. There's lots of Julies. There isn't any on the female side. It doesn't appear to be any names that have been directly being named after each other.
Okay.
But there's quite a few. There's quite a bunch of them that come up again and again.
Okay. So James, we're going to move on a little bit here, and we're going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about. What are some of the childhood memories of Missoula that you have?
Oh, it was a great place to grow up. It was kind of a smaller place than it is now. It wasn't as developed out as it is now, and it was a pretty idyllic place to grow up. We had lots of friends. We grew up on the kind of by Sentinel High School, kind of by Lewis and Clark High School, over in that kind of corner of the valley there. And lots of fun times, lots of, you know, being outside, building things out of wood, digging holes, playing in the ponds, up in the forest, you know, being outside a lot. And then there's always the fun traditions, like the Western Montana Fair every year was, you know, in my neighborhood, and you could hear it from my house, so that was always a very exciting thing. And we went to a lot of University of Montana sporting events, especially basketball and football.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty nice place to grow up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. So you say you grew up over by Sentinel. So what was your housing like?
It was single family housing. After they remodeled, there's three bedrooms downstairs and three upstairs. So six bedrooms, kind of a late 50s, early 60s, mid-century kind of, I guess they call it a ranch house. But that's all one story with the basement. Most of the houses in that neighborhood are kind of similar, built sometime in the late 50s.
Okay. So where did you go to school?
I went to school at Lewis and Clark, and then Washington Middle School, and then Sentinel High School in Missoula.
Okay. And then we'll talk a little bit about religious and social practices, rites and festivals.
Okay.
Did you grow up, or do you belong to a recognizable Irish-American community?
I don't know, would the Catholic Church count as a...
Sure.
We definitely went to church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and everyone on both sides of the family are Catholic.
Okay.
And the...
and Gerald Avenue.
Actually, where my parents met at a student event at Christ the King Church in Missoula.
That's great.
Good place to meet up, I guess. But yeah. So, yeah, other than that, I'm not sure. I don't think both in Butte and Missoula, the Catholic Church is kind of a gathering point for the whole family, and like baptisms, weddings, funerals all happen there, and quite a bit of the family, goes to church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that might be the closest thing to an Irish American institution, other than probably you being in a union and being part of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in Butte, there's a big emphasis on unions.
Right, which is kind of scary to see what's going on now with all of that. Hopefully that, isn't going to go too far,
Oh, no, in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's just scary,
I definitely think my grandfathers would not be pleased with if they were around today.
Honestly, nobody should be pleased with it. It's so scary.
I think it's awful.
Yeah. Okay, so let me see, I gotta get my train of thought here again. So you grew up in Missoula. It was definitely smaller, you say.
Mm-hmm.
It was an urban neighborhood that you grew up in. And
yeah.
How has Missoula changed over the years for you? What do you see as the big changes here?
Well, I moved away in 1995, and I go back there about 3-4 times a year. So I guess I still am qualified to say how it's changed. Well, actually, you can kind of notice the change more when you only see it every once in a while. The town's gotten bigger. Especially out towards the airport. When I moved away, even there, out on the street called Reserve Street, there was just one car dealership and the Costco, and that's it that was out there. And in 15 years, all that's been completely developed out there, and there's many more houses out there towards the airport. It's just grown quite a bit. It doesn't have quite maybe the smallish town feel that it had. It felt like a smaller town, I think, in the 80s.
Yeah, definitely.
It's retained a lot of its good qualities, though, so I don't think it's changed too much for the worse. I guess the population change would probably be the biggest change. Politically, it seems like, it just in using the meter of my father's job, it seems like it's gotten, the politics have gotten a little more nasty than they used to be.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right
there. It's a lot more, bitter divisiveness about issues around town than there used to be. I never used to remember, the kind of stressful stuff that's gone on in my dad's job the last 10 years, where they've kind of, people will be personally insulting him and stuff over certain things. I guess it's just kind of gotten, I guess maybe that comes with the town getting bigger, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it just seems to be a lack of respect all around, doesn't it?
It just is a little bit more, maybe people losing their manners a little bit. I hate to sound old-fashioned, but...
Well, I agree with you there. So I'm going to ask you about, and if you don't know these things, it's okay. We'll just move on from them, but...
Okay.
Were there any stories about your family's experiences during World War II or the Depression?
My dad's dad was in World War II. He actually enlisted. He knew he was going to get drafted. So he was in Europe. Flew in some kind of a bomber plane. Flew bombing raids over Europe, so very dangerous And he was, I don't know if he was married to my grandma yet or not, but they were dating. And they got married pretty much right after he got back from the war. On my mom's side, my grandfather didn't go into the Army, and I can't remember why. I think it might have even just been that he was a teacher. There was some reason he didn't go, but his brothers went, his brother Flurry and his brother Pat, which Flurry is a great Irish name, by the way. I've been trying to talk someone in my family to name their kid Flurry, but so far no takers.
How do you spell that?
But they were both over in the Pacific, and Pat Driscoll, my grandfather's younger brother, died at Guadalcanal, which some kind of, I don't know too much about it, but it's a big battle in the Pacific theater. Mm. Flurry survived and went back to Butte, Montana, and lived a long life.
Mm-hmm.
And during the Depression, it sounds like both sides of the family had quite a bit of poverty. There's a family legend of I assume it's true that my grandfather and his brothers were shooting squirrels for dinner, for food, in the 30s in Butte.
Mm.
So apparently to supplement their diet.
Right.
So they were eating squirrels.
Mm.
I think the legacy, it seems like, of that kind of poverty, and I guess it must, you know, it sounds like it went back generations. There's a lot of poor people,
mm-hmm.
I think the 30s might have been the last bit of that before they were all able to kind of improve their standard of living a little bit, but the legacy of that is, I think, definitely appears in both sides of the family, that they're, you know, pretty tight with money and pretty cautious and,
mm-hmm.
you know, very, very focused on the kids getting an education, and, you know, I think the legacy of that definitely continues.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so does your family have any special sayings or expressions that you remember?
Let's see. I know some of the people in B will when they instead of saying have a good day or take it easy, they'll say tapper lightly or tap lightly,
mm-hmm.
which comes from mining, I guess, you know, when you were putting the dynamite in the hole, and if you tap too hard, you could, you know, when you're using the metal rod to stick the dynamite in the drilled hole in the rock, if you tapped it too hard, apparently it would blow up. So there's this a Butte saying that if you tap lightly, you know, it's kind of a way of saying, you know, be careful, have a good day.
Okay.
I'm trying to blank on that. I know there is some.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really. The term shanty Irish is always used to describe anything that's kind of junky.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want, you know, or even like if your curtains look bad, like my mom will worry. She doesn't want it to look shanty Irish, which, you know. If you see the accommodations they had in Walkerville and Butte at, you know, the turn of the last century, it was pretty shanty Irish,
mm-hmm.
up there, you know, essentially living in shacks.
Right. Right.
So
that's probably where that expression comes from then.
Oh, I'm thinking so. Yeah, I think it's definitely a class conscious kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about calendar holidays. So, how are the holidays traditionally celebrated in your family?
Let's see. Christmas is, we still all go back if we can for Christmas. maybe the day after Christmas. Usually we would have an Advent calendar and do the whole Catholic build up towards Christmas, go to Mass on Christmas night. So I guess the other major Catholic holiday, Easter, was also a pretty big deal. You know, most of these holidays involved some kind of a family gathering.
Mm-hmm.
4th of July is a real big deal in Butte, so we would always go up there for 4th of July, which was much funner than Missoula anyway, because the whole town is lighting off fireworks. So that's also a big day. And it seems like anything tied with Butte feels like it's tied to Irish Americanism.
Right.
You know, so we would definitely go up there. I have a lot of memories of that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. St. Patrick's Day is kind of observed in the family. Everyone tries to make corned beef and cabbage on St. Patrick's Day and wear green and stuff, but that's kind of almost an American thing now,
mm-hmm.
not just Irish.
So did you guys ever go to Butte for St. Patrick's Day? Was that?
Occasionally we would, yeah. I think my parents kind of were worried that it was too rowdy.
Yeah.
But I've been there a few times and, you know, seen the parade. And parades are a big thing in Butte. The 4th of July parade was huge. You know, it's just like a big part of the event. And the St. Paddy's Day parade is a pretty big thing. Or I remember it being. I'm sure it probably still is.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we wouldn't go all the time. And also, it's kind of right in the middle of the school year too, so
right.
we wouldn't get up to Butte for that as much as 4th of July.
Right. So, are there any special food traditions other than the corned beef and cabbage that your family has that's maybe been passed down generation to generation, or is it just?
Well, there's definitely the pasty.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother taught all my aunts on my mom's side how to make pasties, and they're all very good pasty makers. They make both the small pasty, the kind of cocktail-sized pasty, and then the big, you know, full-plate pasty.
Yum.
And that, I think, actually came from Cornwall. I'm not sure. I think mm-hmm. it might have. I think that traces there, but the Irish miners picked it up and brought it to Butte, and it's traditionally a good miner's lunch, because mm-hmm. the way a pasty is usually made, I'm sure you've seen them, but mm-hmm. they've got a big crust, and you were able to hold on to that crust without washing your hands.
Oh.
So it's like the pasty had a handle, and mm-hmm. so you'd have your potatoes and meat and onions and stuff in there, and you can just pull it out of your lunchbox in the mine without washing your hands and just hold on to it, eat it, and toss the crust.
Interesting.
So that's kind of and that's definitely a big Butte thing. There's definitely pasties you can even get them in some of the stores there too.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely the homemade ones are better, and I think my mom is one of the better pasty cooks. My Aunt Riri over in Butte is a pretty good pasty cook also, yeah.
So
that was a big one. Also, polvetitsa, which is not Irish at all, but it's Eastern European. There's a lot of Eastern Europeans in Butte, and it's this, I don't know if you've ever had it, but it's this kind of sweet, rolled dough that's baked into a bread, you know, so they kind of bake almost like a German chocolate frosting kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And they spread it over the dough, roll it up, and bake it like bread, so it's kind of a pinwheel. So that's big in Butte, a great delicacy. Not Irish, but the Irish adapted it.
they adopted it.
Oh, yeah.
A question kind of came to mind when you were talking about the pasties and the miners. And I know that your forefathers came over to Butte and they were miners. And now, and then they kind of rose up and they were in the legislature. Your dad is a city attorney. Both your grandfathers were involved in politics. So how did that come about? How did they come from being minors to being prominent citizens?
Well, it was a big push. I definitely know that my Grandpa Morris, my mom's dad, was definitely adamant that all of his kids get an education to stay out of the mines. I mean, that was pretty much what his mantra. His, go to school so you don't have to be in the mines. That was the goal. Is because mining's dangerous and it's also, unpredictable too, as Butte is definitely, the history of Butte shows how unpredictable the industry is, and so I think they knew that they just kind of wanted to get out of that, and education was definitely the ticket out. So there was definitely a big push to succeed in school, and that definitely extended down to my generation too, because. Definitely the Morris Driscoll ended up going to Montana Tech and got a he as a younger guy worked in the Mountain Car and also worked in the mines and then got a degree in teaching and got out of the mines, and I think that was being working above ground was a big thing, and then his 10 children, one of which is my mom, all of them ended up getting advanced degrees. And I think a couple of them actually did work in the pit as summer jobs, but they, got out of the mines. And now they are, two of them are lawyers, one of them is a doctor, the speech therapist. They all have become, have become professional people, which is almost kind of hard to live up to also. But in my siblings, I have 2 brothers and 2 sisters, and all of us have at least a master's degree. So it's definitely been passed down the line.
So education was very
Education is
important.
the, yeah, the education and hard work is the way out of the mines.
Do you partake in any traditions, rituals, or rituals of Irish origin, such as Irish funeral rites, Irish music, or dance?
I do like Irish music. I'm not much of a dancer, but I do have a collection of Irish music, and I'm actually, as I get older, enjoying it more.
Do you, what do you
And
play? What instrument?
I play guitar and a little bit of piano, but play guitar. I haven't played a whole lot of Irish music other than some folk songs, but I'm developing a collection of Irish music. And other than that, I guess I go to a lot of Catholic events, but they're not necessarily Irish. It's kind of hard to separate the two sometimes.
So you don't belong to the Hibernians or any of those.
No. My grandfather and some of my uncles belong to the Knights of Columbus in Butte. But I don't know if they're Irish or just a Catholic organization, the Knights of Columbus. They had a cool sword, I remember. They wouldn't let me touch as a kid. And I've played basketball in the Knights of Columbus gym, but I guess that doesn't really count. To long story short, I am not involved in any organizations.
So, were there any traditional home cures for common ailments within your family that you remember?
Not off the top of my head, I don't think I remember anything that stands out as a traditional home cure to anything.
And then,
Yeah, drawing a blank on that one.
what about superstitions? Were there any superstitions?
Well, I think inherently Irish are kind of paranoid people in a lot of ways, because you just never know what might happen. Well, you know, I know that there was, that there is some superstitions. Well, for one, that there, like, a lot of the older generation was Catholic to a degree, you know, almost an obsessive degree.
Mm-hmm.
I know that one of my grandfather's sisters went to church every single day, mm-hmm. and but it, that doesn't count as superstition. So yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think I think if I had time to think about it, I could come up with some.
Okay. So, what are your most striking changes in your life so far? Greatest moments of sorrow and joy.
Well, sorrow was probably at this point when my grandma, my mom's mom, passed away. She's definitely the center of a big family, which is, you know, even to this day is very closely knit. We just had a family event last night out here in Seattle. We had 20 people, and I was related to all of them. Mm. Lots of the Driscolls are out here in Seattle now. But yeah, I think that would, you know, her death and the funeral was definitely, you know, luckily I haven't had too much sorrow so far.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Big moments of joy. Maybe my getting married was quite a joyous occasion. Yeah, I don't know. Is that kind of what you're looking for?
That's just fine. I do want to touch on, before we get to the end here, you told a little story about somebody buried in Butte, or killed in Butte around the turn of the century, and was buried in the plot of a literary society.
Yeah, I think it's the Emmett Watson Literary Society. I had to look it up.
And that was a front for what?
That has ties to the IRA.
Mm-hmm.
My Aunt Robbie's husband, who actually has dual citizenship, he's Dennis O'Leary, he was able to get his Irish citizenship even though he grew up in Spokane, but his uncle had worked as a bartender in Butte, Montana, and around the turn of the century, and was killed in some kind of a bar fight kind of thing, and he is buried down there in, I think it's St. Patrick's Cemetery, I'm not sure exactly which cemetery in Butte, but they couldn't find his grave at first, and they realized that he was in this kind of group grave that has this one monument, then it's this literary society, which it seems like that the pre-Irish Revolution IRA people had they used this kind of euphemism or something, this literary society thing, and I don't know if it goes back to Yeats and like the kind of rebirth of Irish culture and the Irish Celtic, or you know, the Gaelic language, or
mm-hmm.
or what it was, but it was, you know, they would say this literary society, but what it really was this group that was involved with the IRA, and there's family legend that my grandfather and his brother were somehow involved with the two. They refused to talk about it,
mm-hmm.
but I think there's a pretty good chance that there's some kind of fundraising going on, as far as I can tell,
mm-hmm.
that people in Butte were raising money and sending it back to Ireland for the, either to buy guns, or they were buying guns in America and sending them to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
But there was definitely And of course, no one will talk about it because it is illegal and it's, you know,
right.
definitely under the table. But
so how did you come to hear about it then, James?
Just about the Literary Society?
Or just about, kind of about the suspicions of that being, did you just hear hushed conversations or?
Yeah, you know, I just hear my uncles talk about it and that they just kind of like, they are trying to, you know, put two and two together and trying to, mm-hmm. you know, they were, my grandfather and his brother were really involved in the unions in Butte and, mm-hmm. and were also, like, Flory, for instance, was not born in this country, but a bunch of them falsified their data and said they were born in Michigan, even though mm-hmm. it's clear that they couldn't have been born in Michigan and then went back to Cornwall and lived till they were five and then came, you know, mm-hmm. the dates don't all match up, but they were very paranoid about the government, you know, knowing who they were and where they came from,
hmm.
Even to the extent that when my great grandmother died, Flory put something in the obituary in the Montana, it's probably the Montana Standard at that point, that she'd come across the country in a covered wagon with, you know, and had lived in America. Her family had been in America for. You know, you made it sound like she was with the Oregon Trail or something, you know, which is completely a lie. But, and so even as far as the 70s, they were perpetrating perpetuating these myths that kind of covered their background.
Huh,
so I think he was afraid that he'd lose his citizenship, even though he'd fought in the war on mm-hmm. the American side. So they definitely didn't talk about a lot of these things, but I've heard my uncles and aunts speculate about. So it's all speculation, but I think mm-hmm. In the case of my uncle's uncle, you know, having been buried in the plot of this literary society, so-called literary society, is pretty good indication that he was involved
somehow.
With the IRA.
Interesting. So I'm going to wrap it up today.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you one last question before we go.
All right.
And this is, if you were to write a history of the Irish in Montana, what would you include for future generations?
I would definitely emphasize that Butte, Montana was kind of the Alice Island of the Northwest, and definitely that was, you know, to future generations, they might not understand how important Butte, Montana was to the history of Montana, because it's now not as central as it once was. And also how the Irish Americans in Butte, Montana, rose to some great prominence and power. For instance, Marcus Daly was an Irish American, came here, built this great big company, and definitely pulled themselves out of poverty and became, some of them, very successful. And the Butte, Montana, at one point was pretty much dominated the whole state, and the Anaconda Company, we owned all the newspapers, they owned the railways, you know, the power companies, they own all the dams, that, you know, it's just almost like a colony of the Anaconda Company. And these things all tie back to the Irish American history, and they definitely were influential in what Montana is today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I would stress that there's a lot of Irish in Butte, Montana. A big, big part of the story.
Okay, wonderful. So, James, I just want to thank you so much for